Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have served this valley for decades, and they've been doing so by providing the best service possible to their customers. Customers mean everything to them. I mean, you're not a number to them. They know you individually, and they care about your needs. And your needs include your insurance, but they also include your finances. Auto, home, life, business, bundles, whatever the insurance need may be, and they do whatever they can, whenever possible, to find you the absolute best price. That is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And don't forget about that outstanding service department at Sunbury Motors. They're the best. Time now for Into the Archives We Go, the play-by-play call of the day, Villanova at the wire.
Going to go length of the court with Archie Diacono. 3 seconds at midcourt.
Jenkins.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
Double order sautéed.
Those onions! One of my favorite calls ever.
Oh. Bill Raftery.
He's a man.
Is one of the more delightful people I've ever met in my lifetime. And I've been around him several times. And you should see... Matt, this is something I've told my kids for years, and it's been heartening that they've actually have taken it to heart. I've always told them that no matter where you get in life, no matter where you get, everybody is a person and they're equal. Everybody. So it doesn't matter that you're the star basketball player, you're the announcer, you're the security guy, you're the custodian. The custodian, the security guy, the star basketball player, and the announcer. Let's just take four individuals, or it could be anybody working in the building. They're all trying to do the same thing. They're all trying to make ends in their respective lives meet. And I said, get to know the security guard. Get to know the custodian. Appreciate who they are, what they do. I've always told them that. And I'm proud of the fact that they've all come back and told me that. Bill Raftery. I remember it was the Big Ten tournament 2 years ago, and Bill came over to talk to Dick and me before the game. We probably chit-chatted for maybe 10 minutes. And every single security person, hey, Bill. Hi, Bill. How are you, Bill? Bill said, hey, talking. Took the time. They loved him, Matt. They loved him. And then I was talking to one of them who we befriended and who comes to Penn State games sometimes. And he'll show up sometimes at the pregame show. And I think this guy's a terrific guy. He's a great guy. And I said, what's he like? I mean, I know what he's like with me. I said, what's he like with you guys? He says, he gives us time all the time. Now, that tells you something about Bill Raftery. And by the way, for Jim Nance, that was an awesome call, by the way. All right. So, that tells you a lot about somebody, right? They all loved him. Believe me, if they think somebody is a jerk, they will tell you that person is a jerk. They'll tell you that. And Mike was very, he was great, you know, telling me, he was great. That's why I'm hoping this, if everything works out, we're supposed to, I think we're supposed to go to the Garden in December. I hope. You know, because I want to see this guy again. He's such a great guy. Yeah. We always tell him we're disappointed when he has to work the other end of the floor and he doesn't work our end. He's a terrific guy. But that tells you everything about Bill Raftery. All right. Barry Saluga joining us for the Washington Post. Yes, I am going to ask him Trent Williams questions eventually, but we're going to talk about today's conference call with the NCAA dealing with winter and spring seniors as to whether they'll get an additional year of eligibility. Barry, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Another thoughtful column. This one deals with letting either winter or spring sports athletes get another year. When the financials came out for the NCAA basketball tournament, and it shows obviously there was going to be an obvious shortfall, what did that do to the thought process on additional years of eligibility?
Well, they're going to meet virtually today, this afternoon at 4 p.m.
Yes.
The Division I Council is. And obviously there are financial implications of all of this in every kind of walk of life, and that's no different in distribution of scholarships when, you know, we know how much the NCAA's existence even relies on that CBS-Turner basketball contract. My thought in thinking about this is really to take it to the athletes and think about it from the athletes' perspective. And I think the instinct is that, well, of course, these kids, you know, kind of were robbed of their senior season and they should be allowed another year, and that just makes sense, and why not make it happen? But even from an athlete's perspective, it's not an easy equation. The vast majority of spring sport athletes, and actually NCAA athletes at all, are not on full scholarship. They're on partial scholarship.
Yes.
They come back for a fifth year. That's putting a further financial burden on you and your family, potentially, to, you know, just to play another year of lacrosse or track and field or whatever your sport is. There's also, you know, a lot of these kids are graduating and they have lives that they were planning on starting in the fall. Just going back for another year of rowing at the University of Virginia or whatever it is supersede how you were going to, you know, start your adult life, basically. It's complex. It's very individual. Everybody's going to have a different thought process. But in writing the column, I thought it was important, instead of looking at it from the NCAA's perspective, really look at it and talk to a couple of student-athletes who you've never heard of and never will hear of, who had their season stopped, spring seasons in these case, and are now wondering what might be left for them and whether they could even do it financially.
Exactly, because you're right. They are on a lot of them are on partials. I mean, baseball, I think, is like 11.7. I don't even know how many lacrosse has. But the scholarships are all cobbled together. I mean, this is not football or basketball where it's full scholarships. And, for example, Grant Ament, who was going to be, was in the process of having another All-America season in lacrosse and was going to be in the running for National Player of the Year, he was in his fifth year, Barry. And he says, look,
right.
I don't want to come back for a sixth year. I mean, can you blame
right.
them? They want to get on with their life.
Right. I mean, that's definitely a factor. It's also, tied to the individual circumstance. Were they certainly going to have a job in such and such an injury industry in the fall? Does that job prospect change because of all of this? There's tons and tons of unknowns. I think you also have to trickle down and think about not just the seniors who, you know, I focused on because they're the ones who thought they were in the middle of their careers, but now their careers are over. Does that mean that a current sophomore who also lost a year of whatever their sport was, does that person get granted an extra year of eligibility too, so that they can have 4 years like everybody else does? There's obviously impacts on rosters. You know, the coaches have recruited athletes for, in some cases, for positions that they knew they were going to need because of outgoing seniors. So there's no easy answer. There's no aspect of an athletic program that this doesn't touch. It's an important decision. But I think it's important to realize that the athletes aren't just, you know, not 100% of the athletes are like, well, I want the other, the extra year of eligibility. I'm definitely going to take it. It's more complicated than that.
And it's, you know, we talked about baseball, softball, so forth. But for example, you pointed out Riley White from the University of Virginia women's crew team.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, now crew doesn't happen here at Penn State. It does, for example, at Ohio State. It does at Virginia. But, I mean, someone like that is put in this position that they never expected.
Yeah, and you know, she talked about having kind of a love-hate relationship with her sport. It's a really, you know, very, very intense in terms of preparation and the reward, the kind of months of preparation that you put in. The reward are these competitions that they're missing. So, I think there's a real sense of loss for these athletes. I mean, they all have the perspective that they are a very minor piece in a just immense puzzle, and that their individual story doesn't matter in the larger scheme of things. But they also, they know what they're missing. They know they miss their teammates. They know they miss the competition. They know they miss the experience. So it's a hard position for them to be in. Not that it's harder than anybody else's, but they have that sense of loss, and that sense of loss is pretty real.
Exactly, it's very real for them. How tough a decision is it for? I think these are like conferences that'll be talking about this. For a smaller conference, they have to have a different viewpoint potentially than a larger conference would, wouldn't they?
Well, if you're talking about it strictly from a revenue standpoint, yeah, you would think that for sure. I haven't run financials on
sure.
this. I think we'll get more information, not just from the NCAA's vote, but from the conferences as they go through their own, you know, set of thoughts and meetings on it. But you're right. I mean, it's also not as simple as, okay, the NCAA comes out today and says, hey, we would be happy to grant an extra year of eligibility to, you know, anybody who is a senior or anybody, you know, or anybody across all classes. That doesn't mean then that everybody automatically gets it. The Big Ten, the ACC, all the conferences would have to go through a process of saying, is this right for us? And would there be a situation where a conference decided, well, we can afford to do it in these sports because they offset some of that with some revenue, and we can't afford to do it in others? I don't know how that would be received. I don't know even that would be discussed. But
right.
the point is that this meeting today does not end things. If they grant some more eligibility, it would just open up things for the conferences and those schools to start talking about themselves.
Right, exactly. I have to ask you about a column that you wrote about Trent Williams, who has
sure.
been certainly an absolutely fascinating figure in Washington, in Trent Williams versus medical staff, Trent Williams versus, essentially, in the end, Daniel Snyder. You say it used to be easy to pick a side. So how difficult is it now to pick a side when it comes to Trent Williams?
Well, I mean, Trent, for so long, he played 9 years. Last year would have been his 10th in Washington. Those 10 seasons have been, you know, defined by dysfunction and tumult, really. And he was always kind of a beacon of, you know,
right.
you counted him to play when he was hurt. He was a reliable voice in the locker room, a steady presence, you know, just a talent as well. And so, you know, given the history of the team and the player, the easy, when things like this came up and it was a misdiagnosis of a cancerous lump on his head,
right.
Obviously you take the player's side. Well, now Trent's demanding a trade. There's a new regime. Head coach Ron Rivera has given a lot of power over the entire football side of the operation. It's unclear who his beef is, Trent's beef is with, given that Bruce Allen, the former team president, has been fired, and Trent, in a statement from his agent, says he has respect for Daniel Snyder, the owner. It seems now that the most important thing that Williams wants is a contract extension and a place someplace else. And it's in a rare occurrence around here. I think we're seeing a situation where somebody could see an argument and you'd actually take the Redskins' side.
Interesting, because I think throughout all of this, right, it would have been impossible for people to envision the Redskins side of it until, obviously, you brought up that point. I also have to, since I've got you, I've got to ask you about the Ryan Zimmerman column, which was, again, really, really good.
Sure.
Here is a Major League Baseball player who last visited the ballpark, as you said, in Palm Beaches on March 14th. And now here it is, March 30th. What's it been like for him? Because, like, spring training, probably for most veteran major leaguers, is a pain in the neck. Would that be fair to say? And now they really want the pain in the neck.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I think what I'm trying to do there is, talk about, write about one guy's experience that might represent
yes.
a lot of guys' experience.
Right.
And so Ryan, who's the longest-standing national, in a one-year deal here to probably finish out his career, had his family, two small daughters and a pregnant wife down in West Palm. And, you know, as things were closing up and they were still allowed to come to the ballpark back on March 14th, 15th, as he said, he put two and two together and was like, I'd rather be at home.
Yes.
And he's made his home right outside D.C. in Northern Virginia. As he well admits, he's in the 99th percentile in terms of what he can afford there. He has a gym. That's an easy decision. But like a lot of us, you start to miss the things you used to take for granted. Zimmerman's never been a big spring training guy. Always thought he could get ready with a few at-bats. Always thought spring training was something more for pitchers, which it is, because they've got to build up their arm strength.
No question.
But you hated that grind part of it, and then now you're missing it. And, you know, I talked to him more than a week ago, haven't checked back in, but I think that longing is probably only pronounced. Again, it's all kind of fit in the prism of, you know, a Major League Baseball player missing spring training is a small piece of this puzzle.
Sure.
But I also think it's fair for us to talk about the things that we miss. We don't have the distractions that sports provide us, and even the athletes that provide us that distraction are missing the things that they used to think were a pain.
And what's interesting is that, say Major League Baseball, say things go well. They're talking about maybe mid-May trying to do a spring training and then maybe early June. And I was talking with Larry Anderson, the analyst for the Phillies Network, and he was in the league 17 years. Which meant he was a part of the 1981 strike. So the first question I asked him, Barry, was, during that strike, A, what did you do, and how quickly could you ramp back up after weeks out of the game? Because they'd started the season. They were out, I don't know, 5-6 weeks, I think they were. And he said it was because they came into camp in shape, and, of course, now today's athletes really come into camp in shape. It actually was easier for them to ramp up than people thought, although they'll have to carry extra pitchers. But today's athlete has home gyms and things like that, which really helped. I'm talking about the pro athlete, not the college athlete. But they have home gyms and so forth. It's like their off-season regimen again.
Yeah, I just got off a conference call with Mike Rizzo, the Nats GM, and he talked about that, about players finding inventive ways to stay in shape. I'd be careful about kind of characterizing all Major League Baseball players as having home gym. Certainly the longtime tenured guys, Ryan Zimmerman, Max Scherzer, you know, mm-hmm. guys who have made $100 million have that kind of stuff. But
sure.
But guys who are only a year or 2 years into their careers,
they make the minimum.
Yeah, and the minimum is a great salary, but they've only made it for 1 year, and they're
right.
not, you know, they don't even have a so my point is, yes, they are going to be diligent about the way they prepare and how much preparation they can get in this downtime. It might not take that long, but a lot of them are facing the same constraints that any of us are facing in terms of working out. And for us to work out, to get a run in or do something like that, it doesn't require a pitching machine or an L screen to hit into or to get some swings in. They're going to have to be kind of creative. At least it's 60 feet and 6 inches. Yeah. That's a safe social distance.
Yeah. Unless you're Ricky Vaughn. All right.
Right.
Barry, thanks so much for your time. Hope you and your family are well and safe.
Appreciate it. Same to you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Barry Saluga joining us from the Washington Post. See, I got the mandatory Redskins questions in. Did you notice that?
Yes, that was well done.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome back into the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve Jones will be back from there, the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. All of your insurance needs, they are there for you. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or visit them on their website at purdyinsurance.com. Our thanks to Barry from the Washington Post as we continue to wait word on what's happening right now with the NCAA, if spring and winter athletes are going to be able to get their extra year of eligibility because of what's happened with COVID-19 and canceling the rest of the seasons, basically. And so as you heard from Barry talking to Steve in the last segment, that conference call is happening now as we speak, so we'll see what comes about then. We'll have plenty of reaction tomorrow with Dana O'Neill from The Athletic. She'll be joining us tomorrow at 4:06. That'll definitely be a good one that you definitely won't want to miss. Also, our thanks to Neil Coulong, who joined us in the previous half hour to talk Steelers, of course, as they get ready for the NFL draft coming up in a couple of weeks, April 23rd through the 25th, and hopefully that won't be the only sight of football this year, as Steve and I alluded to earlier on in the first segment of the show, and just kind of bouncing off of Kirk Herbstreit's comments.
Well, I think you have to prepare for everything. I'm okay with preparing for everything, but I'm not for making wild prognostications as to what's going to happen, because nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody. Let's look at, first of all, let's take the China model out of it. Okay.
because there isn't a single thing on the face of the earth, no offense, that I trust that they tell me, okay? That's just me. You may disagree with me, but I don't, for a second, trust their numbers. So let's look at other parts. All right. In Europe, Italy's bad. But now you're starting to look at Spain, which has been very bad, right? Yet Spain is starting to see a little bit of a turn. Okay, let's see if that continues. In our country, New York's been awful, but what was the first awful place? Washington State. Washington State is now, in some small way, is starting to see a turn. Now, I think everybody's going to feel better about this whole thing once there is a virus, once there is a shot that everybody can get. Well, you get your flu shot every year. You get a shot for this every year. I think people will feel better when that happens. But all this is a process. It takes time. I've always been a one-step-at-a-time guy. Always have been. So the next step is what we're doing for the next 30 or so days. That's the next step. To sit there and predict what's going to happen in September, what you're worried about, what you fear. First of all, let's start with this. There are people right now that they're sitting there, and through no fault of their own, nothing they've done, they've been great workers, right now don't have a job to go to. Some people are working at home. That's the most important thing. Now, getting football back, baseball, the NBA, the NHL, whatever it may be, whatever you like, that is the feeling of the sense of the turn toward normalcy. And I don't think, you know, to sit there and to, you know, and Kirk Herbstreit is well respected. I respect him. But it doesn't mean you have to sit there and agree with everything either. It's his perspective, what he's concerned about. And but I don't think we're at that point yet. I don't think we're at that point that I think Easter was optimistic, yes. But what did I tell you 2 weeks ago, Matt? Just my gut feeling. My gut feeling 2 weeks ago was May 1st. Remember that?
Yes.
All right. I mean, that was 2 weeks ago. And I'm no expert. I mean, my goodness. But you look at what's trending other places. In the sports schedule at the moment, as I pointed out in the first half hour, saying that we have to continue this through up to April 30th. It's, for our everyday lives, big announcement. But I also think a lot of people feel that by April 30th, we will have started to turn the corner, and hopefully that's true. That's what we're all hoping for. For the purpose of this show, then what about the sports part of it? Well, nothing that was announced yesterday affects anything in the sports part of it. The draft, which will be the most viewed draft ever. Oh, good. Something live and fresh. That's the way people are going to feel. What, 25 days from now? It was April 23rd, I think, right? People are going to be anxious. Even the slightest of casual fans will sit there going, you know, I think I'm going to watch this. I may not be a big Eagles fan. I watch them sometimes. But you know what? I think I'll watch this. Major League Baseball is still talking about the possibility of getting things going in some form in mid-May. Well, mid-May is a couple of weeks after April 30th. First week of June is... The first week of June is 5 weeks past April 30th. Okay. June 1st, which Mark Cuban's talked about, is still 5 weeks past April 30th. Just maybe a slightly less than that. The NHL has talked about having arenas available in June, July, August. Making sure they had arena availability. And that's obviously beyond April 30th. And not only that, for the NHL, the break they catch in a world where right now there aren't many breaks is that the Olympic Games will now be July 23rd, starting July 23rd with the opening ceremony 2021, which means NBC would be freed up to carry the Stanley Cup playoffs. If the Olympics had gone on as scheduled, the NHL would have been using regional networks probably to carry Stanley Cup games should they be played. And then, of course, we get to football season, and training camps would start in late July, college in early August. And that would be 3 months after. Now, if things continue on the path they're going, well, now then we have to have serious conversations. If we're sitting here on June 15th having the same conversation, Matt, then there are legitimate concerns like, hey, wait a minute, how come we're not turning the corner?
And yeah, at that point,
we're not talking about sports. How come we haven't turned the corner and people are dying in this country and are still sick and sick and sick? It's a bigger problem than just that. Sports getting back to business would be emblematic of the country getting back to business.
Definitely a major part of it.
I mean, but it would be emblematic and symbolic of the country getting back to business. It's not the be-all, end-all. But it would feel like there's a pathway to normalcy if sports were to get back to business, and they would get back to business in such a way where there aren't any issues. When I mean not any issues, in other words, you start playing and nobody on a team or in management tests positive. What's it going to be like early? Do you go into a stadium, an arena, or a ballpark and you have to have your temperature taken? I mean, do you start out, first of all, with empty seats? Then do you transition to, okay, everybody has to sit 6 feet apart? Do you have to do that? Does everybody have to have their temperature taken when they enter the ballpark, arena, stadium? I don't know.
Depending on how this goes, Steve, I definitely think it's a very likely possibility that at least if the MLB, NHL, NBA do get back underway, that we're probably going to have at least the first few weeks without any fans. And for the baseball side of things, I can especially see if they do get back in within 4 or 5 weeks from now, let's say, I can see them playing spring training without any fans, and then the league takes a wait-and-see approach with having fans when the real games start.
Spring training without fans is fine. It's spring training.
Absolutely.
I mean, that doesn't matter. That would be irrelevant. If you go 3 weeks, you get everybody loosened up for a week, and then you play 2 weeks of spring training games just to get back in the groove of something, and there's nobody in the seats, nobody cares. Nobody cares about that. And, of course, those games would all be televised. And people would at least have something to watch that has a live component to it, even though it wouldn't count. But again, I think there will not be a comfort level completely in the country until there's a vaccine, right? I would think that would be the first time that you would have a comfort level in the country when a vaccine is developed and is shown to be effective.
The only problem I see with that, Steve, I don't necessarily, it's not that I don't disagree, it's that I think it, getting a vaccine, it seems to be, that's kind of, it's while it's making progress, it's going to still take a while. So if we were to wait for that, if we're going to wait for that, then I think that you might see, you actually might see the whole sports year wiped out completely.
If they think they can play, they can play. They've got TV. This goes back to what I said back 2.5 weeks ago when I was doing the show in Indianapolis before they ended up canceling the tournament. I said sports is the one business where you can make the intermediate step because of television.
That's true, and they can at least, and if they wanted to go that route, then they can at least say, hey, well, it's safe enough to play without fans, but we won't get fans back in the stands until you get the vaccine. That I could see, definitely.
Isn't there a WrestleMania coming up that's going to be done no fans?
I believe that is correct, yeah. It rings a bell.
Okay, so last night, you'll love this. Last night, I was doing some work around the yard, the whole thing. I come in and 30 for 30. And the 30 for 30 is on Ric Flair. Now, I actually did see some of it the first time. But Kathy says to me, what are you watching this wrestling deal? And I said, nah, I said, this is more about a guy who was adopted, was 180 of his parents, was a wild child, went to the University of Minnesota for a year, all he did was party, gets into professional wrestling, becomes a star, has problems with women, has problems with drinking, yet has the endurance to wrestle 1 hour with athleticism beyond words. I said, but it's all a part of how it weaves together a story of fame with a story of not tending to the important elements to your life, your wife, your children, and so forth. Right? I mean, he'd be home for a day and he'd sit back and say, I can't take this. I mean, he'd say that. Can't take it. Now his daughter, he has a daughter that wrestles, right? Charlotte. And she's now, I think, the champion or something like that. He was talking about how proud he was that happened. So it was a well-done 30 for 30. You know, and they talked about, you know, the guys he went up against and how they choreographed everything, you know. And they'd be in clinches, and he'd be telling them what to do. But here's the funny part. After the Flair thing was over with, the next thing up on ESPN was WrestleMania 32. I'm not sure where it took place. And the guy introducing it, Tom Phillips, who's on the air with WWE. You want to know the funny part? He took Com 477 at Penn State, my class.
Wow.
And Tom Phillips is his stage name. Tom is his first name. Phillips is not his last name. Yeah.
What a feather Tom in Phillips. Your cap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's... And you know what? Tom has been to some Penn State football games, and I've talked to him. I mean, look, first of all, he's doing whatever he can to earn a living. So he's, as far as I'm concerned, he's doing great, right? But I laugh about it every time. Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, I know that guy. I know that guy. Took my class. Got an A in the class too, I might add. He was very, very good.
Well, there's that.
And now you see him on the broadcast. He's very good. He's very confident. He's very poised. He really is really good at it. But I laughed, and the show's over. Like, oh, geez, there's Tommy. True story. You never know. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Purdy Insurance here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. We continue to listen to the recommendations from federal, state, and local experts, including the Center for Disease Control, concerning efforts to limit the spread of coronavirus. During this time, our office remains operational and available to service our current and new clients. Our employees will be available by phone at 570-286-5855, as well as email, and have access to our systems to continue to conduct business. Please know that our after-hours emergency service will continue to be available. Based on the recommendations from federal, state, and local experts, our building will be closed to the public during these extraordinary times. Our employees will be working from home to practice social distancing so we can do our part to keep our staff and community as safe and healthy as possible. Please be advised that all face-to-face meetings will be discontinued in favor of conducting business via phone or email. At this time, we ask that you be safe, be well, and be kind, and know that your Purdy Insurance team is committed to the highest levels of service and is only a phone call away.
Dane O'Neill from The Athletic on the show tomorrow. We'll talk about some of the decisions the NCAA is making about seniors in winter and spring sports. No real expectation for the winter sports at all. It's really what they're going to do in spring. We'll talk to Dana about that and the college basketball season and so forth with her tomorrow from The Athletic. Looking forward to that. Dana was in Indianapolis and had a long sit-down, by the way, with Mark Emmert that day. Pat Forty was kidding around with us, and Pat looks over and goes, Steve, he says, I'm with Sports Illustrated. He says, I could have been a chair in the room. He said, Emmert just wanted to talk to Dana. It's like... I said, no offense. I said, no offense, Pat, but I don't blame him. Oh, my goodness. But we'll talk to Dane O'Neill on the show tomorrow. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. Auto, home, life, business, bundles, whatever it may be. And not only that, they will do everything in their power to find you not just the right insurance so you're covered, but also, if where possible, the best price. You need that more than ever, obviously. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. So, yeah, Kirk Herbstreit has asked for his opinion, Matt, and I don't blame him for, he's asked an opinion, so he gives an answer. There's nothing wrong with that, and it doesn't mean that we have to share the same opinion. I'm just more of a wait and see. I like to take things one step at a time. I've always been like that, one step at a time. Always have been. And so this is right now the step that we need to take. How we feel about things 30 days from now, we may be looking at each other going, holy mackerel. Or we may be looking at each other saying, all right, you know what? I kind of feel like we've turned it here. Let's just see what 30 days means. So I take it one step at a time. A college coach has to plan for everything. That is their job. All I know is that we really care about you. Okay? You, our listeners. We care about you. So, do the best you can to hang in with this, even though it's not the easiest thing to do. It's not the easiest thing to do. Today's show has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com, and we're in the Sunbury Motors studio.